This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
This is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, ESPN app, your smart speaker, wherever you can find us. We appreciate you for joining us. Speaking of joining us in just a few minutes, we are expected to be joined by Carson Palmer. Get a lot of quarterback talk, a lot of NFL draft talk. How deep are you right now in draft prep? As you and Mike Tannenbaum and company are going to be hosting the draft, right? You'll be doing your show on ESPN Radio?
I'm all organized. I've been looking at some guys, but now I got to go deep. I got to go, like, don't call me after 3 o'clock deep. You know what I mean? Where I got to watch and make sure I make my little notes on what I feel about somebody's punch, their step, their knee bend, their ankle bend, their flexion, their pop. You know what I'm saying? Can they engage? Can they disengage? You know, their speed, their eyes.
You see things differently, right? Is that like when you now will watch prospects? Because I've seen you do this where you watch a player and you'll be able to break a player down to a fine powder. Like, I've seen you do that, it's amazing to me to see that. Like, when you watch a player and you'll just go, oh, this is what he's about. So when you're watching film and you're watching tape on these draft prospects,
yeah,
like is that literally what you do? Is like you see right away something about them,
yeah,
like that the average person can't see, but because of your unique position as a linebacker, what you had to look at, you know right away like whether he's got it or not.
Yeah, I can tell if they one if they're tough. I can tell if they are looking, you know, especially a running back. I can tell if he's, you know, he's too fast to the hole. I can see if he has vision to the hole, acceleration through the hole, because a lot of times young guys just run so fast and they run up the backs of their linemen and they don't allow the play to develop. I can tell you if they have good hips. I can tell you if they got good hands. I can tell you if they're willing blockers on blitz pickup. You know, are they catching? I can tell you if linebackers can know how to disengage, if they know how to separate, because, you know, a lot of guys come in and get stuck to other linemen like Velcro. They get swallowed up. I can tell you if they got a good punch, be able to go near hand, near foot, be able to create separation,
get off
blocks.
How do you see that all in like one clip? Like, I don't understand.
It's all in the hips. You can see tendencies. You can see attributes, right? Now, can they fix them? Yeah. But when you watch them initially, you can see, okay, well, this guy's raw. He has to work on this. Or this guy's super tight. This dude probably can't touch his toes without pulling a hamstring.
Who was the linebacker last year that you absolutely loved? There was a linebacker in the draft. I remember you were raving about him last year.
It was one guy, Murray, that I liked from Oklahoma. He was pretty good. I know what you're talking about. It was just a little dude. He was a thug, man. He was a little thug, little pit bull. And I don't think he went that high either, but I can't remember his name.
Isaiah Simmons?
No. Isaiah Simmons, I thought, you know, he was okay.
You thought he was okay?
Yeah, and he had
Queen,
an okay season.
Queen, you
didn't. Yeah, I love Queen.
Yeah, Queen you talked about,
because
of
his
too,
ability,
right?
But that kid Murray from Ohio State, he wore number 9. Oklahoma was pretty good, man, being able to separate explosiveness. Like, Tannenbaum hated him, but I loved him a lot. You know, I got to follow up on some of these guys that I loved last year and see what they did. Because a lot of times, a lot of these guys won't be stars.
Check your track record,
a lot of these guys won't be stars until, you know, year 3 when they figure it all out. You know what I mean? It's only a few guys that come in and catch the league by storm. A lot of guys you got to see, okay, they're developing. Are they doing the right things? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I hear you. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Just waiting on Carson Palmer, who's supposed to be joining us here any minute. But while we're doing that, since, of course, we did talk a lot of Knicks in the first hour, we didn't get to Nets. So I do think what's important is we hear from Malika Andrews, who gave us the latest on the injury front. Because, as I mentioned, you had James Harden, who was expected to be getting back soon. Kevin Durant was back, and now he's back out again, although I don't believe that the thigh injury is that serious. Well, I actually believe that we're going to get Carson here in a minute, so we'll get back to Malika in a second. I'll just wait till I'm given the heads up that Carson's with us, and then we will go ahead and bring him in. But I do see that the line is coming through.
I'd like to ask him, too.
Okay,
I'd like to ask him.
Yeah, no, I know you do. And so, all right, so we bring him in right now. Carson Palmer joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Carson, I appreciate you joining us right now. It's great to have you.
What's up, old buddy?
What's happening, fellas? Thanks for having me.
Bart feels like that you probably will remember him, but you might.
No. I'm a gnat. I'm the gnat in his ear. But
I remember him in two different uniforms, and I didn't like him either time.
Listen, people always know that they call me Buck Nasty. I'm the ultimate hater, man, but I can't hate on your game. Like, you're one of the very few quarterbacks. Like, you're in my top five, just so you know, of just the reason that we couldn't catch your 15-yard out, man, no matter how we sliced it, we tried to undercut Chad, we tried to put a guy over the top, jam him, put a Darius at corner, and we still could not get to your fastball, man. Like, when you look at these quarterbacks now, like, who can kind of snap that 15-yard out, which is the truest test of pure arm strength?
Well, I think this group that's coming out right now, I mean, I really love the arm on Zach Wilson out of BYU. I mean, the ball has more velocity. It doesn't look right coming out of his small frame. I mean, the ball absolutely explodes out of his hand. And Trevor Lawrence can throw it too. I mean, he is really long and has long levers and is really smooth, but he's got a much better arm than I anticipated. I think those two guys' arms coming out this year are two of the better arms we've seen in a while.
Carson, let me ask you, as a guy who was a number one overall pick, as a guy who was a Heisman winner, as a guy that kind of, if anybody can relate as much to Trevor Lawrence, it would be you. And a lot was made. He's been the expected number one probably for almost 2 years now. And so that's going to come to fruition when we get to the draft next week. But right as we're before the draft, there's always the profiles done, the stories done. And the story that came out in SI, there were comments he made that when you heard them, yeah, of course, you can say whatever you want, right, how you feel. But when you saw, and I'm first of all guessing you saw, when he talked about how I don't have a chip on my shoulder, I don't need to win a Super Bowl, I'm not wired that way, it sort of came up, and his dad saying he could walk away from football whenever he wants. Like, when you see those comments, does that give you a little bit of a red flag at all? Or what advice would you give him after seeing those comments?
Well, the advice I'd give is just don't open yourself up to it. So just don't say it, even if that's how you feel. And that's what's going on inside your own mind, inside your own heart. I mean, the worst thing to do is put it out there and let people reflect upon that. But I mean, the guy did nothing but win in college. And and if he feels that same way about the NFL, he probably felt that same way coming into Clemson from high school. Like, well, I don't have to win a national championship. But you know what? He did. And he gave himself every opportunity to win another one and another one. So if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars or I'm a team evaluating him, I'm not holding that over his head. All the guy's done is perform at a high level. And he may not won those national championships at the end like he did at the beginning of his career, but he can get there. He can put a team on his shoulders and carry them there. So it doesn't bother me. It doesn't worry me. If anything, I just think the guy has a tremendous amount of confidence in himself. And if there's one thing I want my quarterback to have outside of toughness, it's confidence. So it is absolutely not a red flag for me. I think he's just really comfortable in his own skin and confident in his own skin and not worried about what people may say about things that he puts out there in the media. He's just confident in his ability and confident in who he is as a man. But I wouldn't worry that he's going to get the NFL and turn into a guy that has a poor work ethic. I think he works his tail off. He's played, like I said, on the biggest stages when he's had those opportunities to play in BCS games and playoff games, in big time football games throughout his career. He has gone out and performed, and that's all that really matters to me if I'm evaluating him from that standpoint.
Now, Carson, if he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder, he's going to get one pretty soon because he's going to a pretty bad situation. You think about Jacksonville, you're usually picking number one overall for a reason. You experienced that in Cincinnati trying to kind of change the narrative of what the franchise was supposed to be, and you did a pretty damn good job. If it wasn't for, Kiki Van Olive? I don't want to take, pick a scab, but you guys probably would have won the Super Bowl that year. You guys were just that electric. What advice do you give to guys like Joe Burrow, guys like Zach Wilson, guys like Trevor Lawrence that's going to go into a tough situation where they're expected to be the savior, but the organization's in recent history has been a car crash or shipwreck?
Yeah, I mean, you look at Joe Burrow, who went to Ohio State and then transferred, struggled a bit at LSU. I mean, he naturally got that chip on his shoulder. Zach Wilson wasn't the number one recruit in the country. He ended up going to BYU and took some bumps along the way. But if you look at Trevor, I mean, he went to Clemson and just won. And he went to Clemson and didn't sit behind anybody. So there absolutely is not a chip on his shoulder. He didn't have to fight his way up. He was the number one recruit in the country coming out of high school and is the number one recruit in the country today, getting ready to be the number one draft pick. So, you know, I don't think it's a terrible thing to not have that chip on your shoulder. It is hard to go from only knowing greatness and only knowing winning and playing for an unbelievable coach in Dabo Swinney and a great program, and then go somewhere and probably, you know, there's a good chance they might win four or five games. You know, they're a ways away from being a competitor for a Super Bowl, but they've got the right infrastructure. You've got an owner in Shad Khan who is willing to spend money and wants to win. He brought in Urban Meyer, and this is his NFL debut. And you know Urban, if there's one thing we know about Urban, he everywhere he goes, he wins. He doesn't take a job that he doesn't see light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, he did it with Florida. He did it with the Ohio State Buckeyes. He saw something special there. And I think he sees that same opportunity in Jacksonville and the opportunity to hang his hat on a guy like Trevor Lawrence and that be his franchise quarterback. So, you know, I think for Trevor, the advice is just, you know, he's going to take some bumps. There's going to be some bruises along the way, but he's in a situation where he's got an owner that wants to win. He's got a head coach that knows how to win. And he's going to take some lumps along the way. And you just, all you can do in those early years is learn. You're not competing for a Super Bowl in 2021 in Jacksonville. It's just probably more than likely not in the cards. But what he can take is experience and repetitions and learn and learn and learn. And as he goes into year two and three, being able to reflect on those tough times. And hopefully in year three or four, when they are competing, hopefully for a Super Bowl, he can look back, and that's the chip. There's your chip right there. You didn't get it in high school. You didn't get it in college. But you came in the league and got the lung beat out of you and won three or four games your first couple of years. Then you know, there he's created his chip. But if he doesn't learn from these next couple of years, then it's all for nothing. So I think the best advice I can give him is to come in, take your lumps, and just grow from these early hard years of a new coach coming in and building the program. And you're a rookie and you're trying to figure things out, this is a great, great learning opportunity for him.
That's actually fantastic perspective, because you're right. It's like, if he doesn't have a chip, he'll get one because you're not stepping into a ready-made situation. Carson Palmer joining us here on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Barton Hahn. You mentioned Zach Wilson also as somebody that you really like as far as his arm. And you talk about a situation where the Jets just had a quarterback in Sam Darnold. They moved up to draft him at number three. He was also somebody considered, a USC guy, of course. He was also somebody considered to be a guy that could be a franchise quarterback to save the Jet franchise that has been trying to find a quarterback ever since basically Joe Willie Namath. So now Zach Wilson goes into this situation, and it's New York. So it's not just a franchise that has been wayward that's trying to get it right with a media and an intensity around him, but it's not just trying to win and trying to prove you were worth that pick, but also trying to deal with the intensity of the New York media as well. What do you know about Zach Wilson from whatever research you might have done that makes you think that he would be built for this?
Well, I don't know that he is. I mean, I look at, you know, this young quarterback coming from BYU with all kinds of talent, won a bunch of games, played at a high level. It's the same thing we said about Sam Darnold 4 years ago. Won a bunch of games, tons of talent, played well in big games. Sam Darnold is not a bust. Sam Darnold is a franchise quarterback. He just went to the wrong franchise at the wrong time. I'm a little bit concerned. And if there's anybody built for New York, it's Sam Darnold. He's got that Eli, you know, Manning about him. He can handle that. He's super, super confident. You know, that all that outside noise never bothered Eli. Well, Sam was set up for the same situation, but he went to a really bad team with a really bad organization, and they drafted a bunch of bad players, overdrafted players, overpaid guys in free agency, and all of a sudden, before any of us knew it, Sam was being regarded as a bust. So, you know, looking at this situation for Zach Wilson, there's some concerns. I mean, how are you not a quarterback that's also a captain? I mean, how many times do, you know, franchise quarterbacks or starting quarterbacks in college not end up as a captain? That's a little bit of a red flag. There's been some red flags about how his teammates have perceived him. You throw all that talent into somebody going into that New York media with an uphill battle, talent-wise, as far as what's surrounding him on the football field, it's not a great recipe. You know, I'm concerned about that. I worry about that. I think Sam is going to have a phenomenal next two or three years in Carolina. He's at a great organization that understands how to win. He's got a great ownership group. David Tepper has done nothing but build great businesses, and this is just another business for him to build there. Great young coach, good players around them. So I think we're going to see Sam thrive, and we're going to see Zach Wilson go through some of those same issues that Sam Darnold went through playing for the Jets.
Now, Carson, you famously won a staring contest with the Bengals, right? You won it out because it didn't seem like they had the commitment to winning. You set out a year, then Hugh came and gave up two first-round draft picks for you to come out there in Oakland. You know, what advice and how do you feel about the player empowerment, quarterbacks being able to kind of find their way out of bad situations? And what advice would you give to these young quarterbacks about being able to hold these organizations accountable and say, hey, if you guys aren't going to be committed to winning, if it doesn't work out, I want to be gone. I don't want to be franchised. I don't want to stay. How do you make that? What would you tell those guys about how to go about and navigate through that situation?
Yeah, when you look at the current state of quarterbacks one out and hearing that chatter, you see a lot of it coming out of Seattle with Russ Wilson. You see a lot of it coming out of Houston with Deshaun Watson. You know, I think they're two totally different situations. You know, I look at Houston's situation, and none of us know, you know, the conversations had behind closed doors within an organization between an owner and a franchise player like a quarterback. So we don't know what was going on in Houston, but it sure seems to me like Deshaun was like, hold on, you're going to make the head coach who also calls plays on offense. You're going to make him the GM also on top of this. You know, we don't know how that transition for Bill O'Brien last year went, and we don't know what kind of rebuttal Deshaun may have had against the decision to make the head coach the offensive coordinator and the general manager. But it sure seems like there was some frustration there. And Deshaun's in a situation a lot like Russ, where he knows his window of greatness is only so big. You know, he can't play till he's 60. He's only going to be able to be in his prime for a handful of more years, and he needs to make the most out of those years. And it sure looks like Houston hasn't quite figured out how to be a contender and how to put a Super Bowl winning team on the field. It's just a different situation in Seattle. Seattle is a great ownership group with money to spend and the willingness to spend the money to build a Super Bowl champion. They've got a great head coach in place. So I just think both quarterbacks are looking at it from a different perspective. We don't know exactly what's going on between Russ and Pete Carroll and John Schneider and everybody that runs that organization. But the track record and the success is undoubtable. I mean, you can't argue that. What they've built in Seattle is fantastic. And it's the opposite of what's going on in Houston. What's been going on in Houston is Deshaun's playing at a Super Bowl winning caliber, and they haven't been able to surround him with the talent on the field and the infrastructure organizationally. So, I mean, two totally different situations. I every time I hear something out of Seattle and issues with Russ in Seattle, I keep thinking to myself, Russ, be careful, man. The grass is always greener on the other side, and it might be because there's more manure over there. Be careful of wanting out and leaving one of the premier organizations in all of sports and going to a mid-tier or a bottom-of-the-bucket organization like Houston has been. So, I mean, both quarterbacks are looking at it through a different lens. And, you know, at the end of the day, these quarterbacks only have so much time. You don't have a coach's opportunity where you can coach for two or three decades and win your Super Bowls. You got a 6, 7, 8 year window where you are at your best. Your body is firing on all cylinders. Your recovery time from injuries is so much faster. You've only got that 5 or 6 year period. And both those quarterbacks, I think their frustrations are, hey, man, I'm in the prime of my career. I've only got a couple years left. I've got to win one more, or I've got to win my first in Deshaun's case. And I think they're looking at that window and making this decision.
I'll tell you what, Carson, you are a wealth of knowledge and perspective, and this has been fascinating to talk. We could probably go another.
Why isn't he the quarterback coach? How'd your brother get the
gig? We can go another half hour talking to you, but obviously we're always on the time restrictions. But before we let you go, I do want to ask you, though, about Level Select and what you're doing with them right now, the CBD sports creams.
Yeah, Level Select CBD is something I need to send you some, Bart. I know you got some aches and pains and some soreness.
I got arthritis everywhere.
me too. And Level Select CBD is something that it lets me still be a dad and coach my kids' sports and run around and ski and hike and do all the things that I want to do outside. So it's been an absolute game changer for me. It's something I use every day. And to our listeners right now, you guys can log on to levelselectcbd.com and in the promo code type in Carson and you get 50% off your order. So it's a great time if you have not tried CBD, if you're a skeptic, if you're worried about it, it's a great opportunity to buy the product at 50% off and try it and see if it's something that that helps you. And you don't have to be a retired NFL football player to try it. My family uses it. All my buddies use it. Like I said, it's been an absolute game changer for me.
Yeah, I'm on it right now. There's no doubt about
it. Great for inflammation. But I hope are you going illegal pick plays? You know, because when I was the defense coordinator for my son's team, I was blitzing the hell out of 8-year olds, like overload blitzes. You had to like do a full slide, and like guys on the sideline, like what the hell is he doing, man? He blitzing 5 on one side. I don't have a protection for that.
Nobody in the 12-year-old age bracket has an answer for cover zero. So I bring all out cover zero all the time.
Yes.
And it pisses all the parents off on the other sideline, but I don't care. I like seeing our kids smile and win.
Exactly. No knife plays ribbons out here.
No. There's one ribbon.
Oh man, it's all about win. I love it. Carson, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate you, man. Hopefully we'll get you back on and talk some more football.
I'd love to. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
All right. Carson Palmer giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract. No compromise. I just love the fact that it just cover zero. Yeah, absolutely. Nobody has an answer for it. And I'm about
figure it out. And then,
parents are yelling at him. What the hell?
You got to be careful with cover zero because every once in a while you get a kid
that
a sack, right? And then they get happy and then they lose contain. So you got that athletic quarterback sit back there and that edge guy come. Whoopsies! Hit that R2L2. Damn it, Pete! I told you to stay outside. Outside shoulder, always free. Didn't I tell you?
There's
no crying in football.
This is definitely a flashback. That was great stuff, though, from Carson. And obviously what he said, though, about the Jets situation, what he said about Sam and Zach Wilson, that notable, that is wow. That was a strong take.
He believes in the arm, though. He believes in the arm.
What he said about Trevor Lawrence also, what did he say? And what did I say? Same thing. All right, you might be thinking it. Don't put it out in the world. Yeah, you don't need to put that out in the world. It's a really great stuff from Carson Palmer. We'll take your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 as we go forward. Also have audio files coming up. Little MASH unit action coming up with Brooklyn. But first, Bart has this from ZipRecruiter.
The football offseason is always wild with all the trades, free agent signings, and new coaches hires. Teams have to be excited for the upcoming season. If you want to hire people that really you can really get excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter matchmaking technology finds the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to the exclusive website, ZipRecruiter.com/Bart. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Bart. I opened up an account yesterday. Already got 4 employees. Well, they ain't hired yet. Got to pass a drug test. After this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
On Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting your business with specialized coverages for your commercial vehicles. More progressivecommercial.com. What are you doing so studiously?
Studying.
You're getting ready for that, right? Like, next week is your week. Like, this is...
Yeah, it's like, going to be, it's gonna be long. I'm a crammer, too. You know what I mean? So I didn't go through it with a fine-tooth comb because I'd like it to be fresh on my mind. So it's like I'm old school, too. I print everything out, and then I write
you're a
next
what?
To it.
You're a what?
I'm a crammer. I just stuff all the knowledge in my hand just real quick. Sorry.
I mean, that is not really probably the way I would.
Well, when it's like 150 people.
I wouldn't describe it as you being a crammer.
Sometimes it's hard to come off with the top, man. There's just
times you say things, and I just like that's one you probably the filter should have caught.
Sometimes you know you got these 80 and 90 terms that you use, and you forgot that they're outdated.
When
you got to hit the refresh button.
You say
things,
and then you're like, wait, what did I just say?
I got cussed out. I called the dude a janitor. Like what? Like
really?
I'm a waste engineer. Like. Where's what? Your degree at then? Because you get a waste engineer. You ain't even got an associate degree. There's no way there's anything engineer about you, bro. You're the janitor, bro. Like, stop it.
What are you doing?
Stop it. You need a degree with something with an engineer in the end of your name. You need a degree or at least a certificate from ITT
Tech. You know what we need right now? What we need right now
is speed. You ain't got any speed. You're skinny. So roll workers out. We need.
We need audio files. Okay. That's what we need right now. Cool. Audio files, please. Sometimes I just need to save you from you.
Yeah. Let's just
the Knicks have won 7 straight. The whole country is gripped with Knick fever. Or at least I'd like to believe that.
The Northeast.
But at least in New York, people are excited about the New York Knicks, who are now 5 games over 500. This is all for the first time in 8 years, right? The 7-game winning streak. They're going for 8 tonight.
Mm.
And that is against the Atlanta Hawks, and it's an important game because this is why everybody's excited. If the Knicks win this game, they'll be in 4th place in the East with 13 games to go, which is just, again,
who would have thought
hard to believe, and now you're excited about maybe they can avoid playing in the 7-10. Maybe they could even host.
Does 4 play 5?
Yes. And you could host a first-round series. You could be the home court advantage. All this stuff makes you think we're all looking ahead and what could be. And Tom Thibodeau, he's saying, quiet coyote. Focus and your concentration is what gives you the intensity, and you nodded when he said that. Why?
Well, because they're chasing. They've been chasing. They've been in chase mode, right? They've been chasing. As soon as you take that sigh of relief, that's when you lose one that you're not supposed to lose. You got to stay in grind mode. Every blue moon, when the season's over, then you can look up and see how far you've come. Then you got to put your head back down and get ready for the playoffs. You got to understand, you got to compartmentalize where you are. Right, you don't get to the top of a mountain by going to the top of the mountain. You get there one step at a time. You got to go through the process, and sometimes the process can seem long and drawn out, but you have to go through the process. You'll look up and the season will be gone, and you get what you want to get. And I love the fact that if they do that, take some intel, because if you end up there, the odds are Atlanta is the team that you're going to play.
You might.
Well, that's the team that you should be getting some intel from. But would anybody be surprised if the Knicks beat Atlanta in a round one series?
They've already beaten them twice this year. This would be a sweep if they win tonight. They'd sweep the season series.
So that's what I'm saying. So like when we're talking about, hey, man, you know, Tibbs should be the coach of the year. I mean, if they get in the 4th seed, they should be the favorite against Atlanta, especially if you sweep the series.
I can't even comprehend that right now. So let's move on to a team that everybody thinks is the favorite to win the NBA championship, or one of them. At least that'll be the Brooklyn Nets. Ooh. And the one prevailing story about this team has been they have a big three, and we never see them on the court together. And every time we think we're getting close to it, something more happens. So Kevin Durant had a setback. He had a thigh contusion, so he missed a little bit of time. James Harden's been out for a while with a hamstring injury that he was closing on getting back little by little. Then he had a setback, and now so Malika Andrews gives us the latest on the Nets' injuries. And then you get Kevin Durant, at least he and Kyrie Irving, which was the original plan all along. And, of course, James Harden was added right at the very beginning of this season. And the three of them only played seven games together so far. But as we all know, what matters most is May 22nd when the playoffs begin. Those three need to be healthy. Here's the question, Bart. What are the odds? Like, how much do you believe they will be?
If he had a, if he re-injured it, it's literally probably about 4 weeks before he's get back. So wherever it is today,
that's when the playoffs begin.
4 weeks, so he might be able to be right back, and he may even miss some time in the first series because they should be able to handle whoever they, whoever's the eighth seed or the sixth.
Right now they're second, so they'd be the seventh seed.
Yes, whoever's the seventh seed, they should be able to handle him so they can ramp him up through the playoffs like that. That can be his, you know, moment where he kind of works his way in, but I would keep him on a minutes restriction. You know, the thing is, like, you know, you have to learn how to rehab a hamstring, and it's not about, you know, resting and stuff like that. It's like we had a machine that you have to extend and pull at the same time, resistance on both sides, and you ramp up the speed. He's also going to have to get some what we call backplasties. I don't know if he knows that, but it's backplasties. It's like basically a thing you put on the back of your hamstring, and it's heat activated by moisture, and it burns the hell out of you, but it keeps your leg.
Keeps it loose.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Johnson & Johnson makes some, but the best ones come from Japan, this Japanese company. If you want to hit me up and, you know, pay my consultant fee, I can show him how to keep them hamstrings hot.
Helping out James Harden, whatever we can do for the two New York teams. All right, back to football. As the draft is a week away, and as we talked about Trevor Lawrence, number one, Zach Wilson, number two, seem like they're pretty much givens. Then after that is where it gets interesting. And the San Francisco 49ers sit at three. And that continues to be that debate where everybody has said it's Mac Jones, it's definitely Mac Jones, it's got to be Mac Jones. And yet when you ask reporters and analysts about it, they say it uncomfortably, like they can't believe it's going to be Mac Jones, but really it is. Chris Mortensen is the latest, and he said it with some great certainty. So Mort saying 90th percentile that he goes number three. Bart, do you believe it? Or you would have to see it to believe it.
I mean, this has been the narrative of ever since they moved up, even before, about how far Mac Jones was climbing. He has the everybody's comfortable with his floor, you know, but I'm just not comfortable with his ceiling because at the end of the day, I see Kirk Cousins. So I see Kirk Cousins or I see Alex Smith or I see a guy like that win a Super Bowl in modern day. I know Nick Foles won it, but that was more about that team before. I just don't know how you can win with a guy with a ceiling that low.
They might believe in him for short term, right? What you're saying is something like 10-year career, but they might look and think, I think he's somebody that while we have this group that we have, this defense that we have, that maybe it's something that we can handle.
You got Jimmy G. Take Kyle Pitts then.
Jimmy G doesn't stay healthy. That's the other concern. All right, that's Audio Files. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. Bart and Hahn were brought to you by My Computer Career, Training for a Better Life. Coming up, we finish up. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Hey, the Yankees won a game, Bart.
Can they go streaking?
Oh, God, they need to badly. We get your calls to finish up the show. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
I'm Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline.
Ding, ding, ding.
We're also brought to you by...
Who?
Mortal Kombat.
Get over here!
Finish him!
I'm on this week, man.
See it in theaters and on HBO Max this Friday. Rated R. Rated A.
You know what? I got to go buy tickets because I get my shot Saturday. So I got to go get my
Perfect
tickets.
Time.
So I'm going to go get it because I don't know how I'm going to react. So I'm going to take the kids Friday night. I'm taking Friday night.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say. Because you could always just like, because, you know, some people after the second shot, they need a day to recover. And it's almost like that's got to become your binge day, right?
Damn, I should have did it on Monday.
Get a little HBO Max, sit down, watch it. No?
Yeah, man.
That's when I'll like, whatever. I'm getting my first shot today, finally. And after my second one, I think I'm just going to spend the day Disney Plus. Just I'll watch every Star Wars movie while I'm recovering. A lot of people are warning me that there's a bit of a recovery to it. So
Mandalorian.
My wife, by the way, after hers, nothing.
Yeah.
Fine.
So did my dad. My dad and my mom.
She's tough.
My dad and my mom.
Both of them, yeah?
And nothing.
Nothing, right? No effect? Good for them.
It's like the dude off on Half-Baked. It's like, give the guy some, man. Give the guy some. They give it to him. He's like, yeah, whatever. I'm going back to sleep.
Hey, if you missed any portion of the show, including Carson Palmer, we had an interview with Carson Palmer that had so much to it on many different levels. What he said about Russell Wilson and his situation, the line he said about Russell Wilson was, the grass isn't always greener, and if it is, sometimes it's because of manure. What a line that was. Yeah. He was warning Russell Wilson about wanting out of Seattle. What he said, if you're in New York or in also Carolina, what he said about Sam Darnold, you don't want to miss that as well. And his Trevor Lawrence take too. There's a lot of great stuff off of that interview. It'll be on the podcast, and it's anywhere you can find your podcasts, anywhere you listen to your podcasts. Just look up Bart and Han, and of course, hit the subscribe button, and you'll never miss anything in the show. Before we go, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart, 2 through 6, pick a number.
3.
No. We're going to go with this one. It's a Joe in Staten Island. Joe, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good, guys. I just want to say it was a great interview with Palmer and what he was saying about Sam Darnold and everything. I didn't like the fact that he said he thinks he's a franchise quarterback. I think the thing what everybody always says, your best ability is your availability. And Sam has not played a full 16 games.
Yeah,
and
for various
reasons why he's out.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though, John. Sorry.
You can't put the motto on him. You can't put the motto on him, man. That's come on. Unless he's going to get scabies or measles next. I don't know.
There's a lot of things, though, with Sam, and not all of it. You know, it was team, what was built around him. His readiness, all that stuff. It's sad what happened. You're hoping with a new regime here, a new coaching staff, Joe Douglas taking over now of the franchise, that is all behind you, because nothing changes until certainly leadership does, and we'll see for the Jets. 1 week to the draft, everybody. This will be exciting. So we got more to talk about. Watch the Knicks tonight. Can they get 8 in a row? Because if they do, I will be insufferable tomorrow. Bart Scott, I'll see you then.
We're going streaking. I'll holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Han, the podcast.